Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
Boy, did we have a variety of music, or do we have a variety of music, huh? Amen. And I really do want to thank Michelle, and I want to thank you, Justin. Thank you so much. If you didn't know this, Justin wrote that song, Forgive Him. I thank you. As a reminder, today is picnic day. All are invited. And God has assured us we will see sun at least once during the afternoon. We pray. I want us to continue to pray for Nora, because hopefully the next time we see Nora, she will have a child with her. And on that note, sadly enough, since Nora had to be taken away, we will not be doing baptisms in Lake Superior today. So, Scott, you're free. So. Well, we postponed it for warmer water. I don't know when that will ever happen. So, anyways, it's great to see everybody here today, and I see a few new faces. And as is our tradition, why don't we just stand up and greet everybody in the name of the Lord? Why don't we do that? We're going to show a little film clip, and I know we had shown it before, but it's really pertinent today to today's message about faith and fear. So, Shane? It was worth seeing it again, right? Yeah, right. But no matter who we are or what we do, there are some things that strike fear into our hearts, and we all know that. Fear is a terrible thing and affects everyone, especially the one that fears the most. At one time, Ann Landers was receiving about 10,000 letters per month. And somebody asked her, what is the dominant theme of the letters that you're receiving about people's problems? And you know what the dominant theme it was, without question? It was fear. But we all have our own fears, don't we? We all do. And the most recent survey lists the following as the top 10 fears that people have, and maybe you can identify with a few of these. Number 10, this is like David Letterman, so stay with me here. Number 10, fear of confined spaces. There are people that get claustrophobic. They can't stand being even near a closet or in a closet. Number 9, fear of thunder and lightning. There are those that are afraid of storms. Most of the time it's kids, but sometimes it's me that we're afraid of that thunder and lightning that's outside. Number 8, the fear of open spaces. I didn't know that was a fear, but there are those people that fear open spaces. Number 7, which is, I think my wife has this one, is the fear of flying. Right? The fear of flying. The fear of getting on that airplane and being 10,000 feet above the earth. Number 6, the fear of people or social situations. There are people that just don't like crowds. They don't know what to say when they're in a crowd or if they're in a social event. They feel inhibited. That's probably where you get the name wallflower, right? Somebody that's moving away saying, you know, I just don't want to get close here. Number 5, the fear of heights. Ever been on a large skyscraper looking down? The fear of heights. And, you know, some people are afraid of bridges. How many people get afraid when they come across a Mackinac Bridge, especially at its peak, and you look down? Anybody? Okay, I'm not the only one. Number 4 is the fear of darkness. There's something about darkness and the unknown that is a major fear. Number 3 is the fear of spiders. Oh, we got one back here. Yvonne was quick to go. Yeah. Number two would surprise you, because you would think it's number 1. But number 2, biggest fear that people have is death. The fear of death. That's number 2. Merle McGee's 10 top, number 1 fear is the fear of Speaking in public. Statistics tell us that 3 out of every 4 people are afraid of speaking in public. The fear is so great, they rather take number 2, which is death. Right? I'm sorry, I clarified that. Which is death, right? They'd rather have death than to be up here in front of all of you speaking a message. How many here fear speaking in public? Raise your hands. Come on, be honest with yourself. Okay, I would say probably half here. So I'm glad because I'm taking notes of those that didn't raise their hands, because when I need somebody to do a message, you're the ones I'm going to go to. But I'm sorry to say I have fears too, and I need to confess my fear to you, because one of my greatest fears, absolute greatest fears, are snakes. I hate snakes. I detest snakes. You know, I can squash spiders, I can squash bugs, I can ride airplanes. I don't have a fear of crowds, but when it comes to snakes, I hate snakes. And for me, it's a real fear. It's no different than me sharing that same fear with Indiana Jones. Is anybody here an Indiana Jones fan? Okay, remember when he was caught in that Egyptian tomb and he lights up his torch, and what does he see? Snakes. And he says, I hate snakes. He could deal with the meanest of men. He could fight fearlessly. Anybody with spears and swords and guns. But it was those snakes that took him away. I hate snakes and I fear them. Matter of fact, sometimes if I come upon a snake, it will paralyze me. That I will stare at it and I won't know what to do or how to move away from it. There are times in which I totally tremendously avoid the snake by walking way out of its way, so that there's no chance at all that I would be close to that snake. Snakes make me ill. There's a physical reaction. And that nausea builds up. And more than anything, snakes isolate me. It means I'm not going to leave my house. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'll tell you a story. We lived in Falling Waters, West Virginia. And Ginger and I were taking a stroll. It was only maybe 100 feet away. We're taking a stroll down this dirt road, and we're looking up at this tree, and we're seeing things move in the tree. And we're looking real close, and we're seeing that tree with 10 or 12 black snakes on it. Now, black snakes are harmless, but I tell you what, you put a tree over my head with 10 or 12 black snakes all doing this stuff, okay, and you're out of there. And you lock yourself in the house, or you avoid, or you look at that and you get paralyzed. Am I the only one that's afraid of snakes? Do we have anybody else? Whew! Gosh, that's more than being afraid of speaking in public. And we're going to talk about fear today. The dictionary's definition of fear is an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. That fits it pretty well. That strong emotion that's caused by anticipation that you're going to fly in an airplane or come across a snake or be in a crowd or be in a thunderstorm. This is not to be confused with another definition of fear, which is the fear that we see in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, which is the fear of God. That fear is somewhat different. That fear is refers to a reverential awe, or having a profound reverence or awe for God. That's a different fear. That's a fear of the awesomeness of God. So today we're going to continue on our series called Driving Out the Giants from Our Lives. And number three, or part three, is on fear. And I call this Facing Our Fears. You like that? Facing Our Fears. Kind of cute, huh? Facing Our Fears. So with that, let's talk about fear in general and some of the attributes or characteristics of fear. My fear of that snake is no different from your fear of other things, because the effects are identical. What do they do to you? Fear paralyzes you, doesn't it? Fear paralyzes you. Paralyzes you to the point that you're stuck. Speakers that come up, sometimes we get frozen, right? Because of fear of speaking in public. You've seen that a lot, where people come up to a podium, they go, and they freeze. Well, fear does that to us. Fear paralyzes us. Number two, fear keeps you doing the things, keeps you from doing the things you would like to do. It makes you avoid, doesn't it? Fear makes you avoid. Makes you avoid crowds. Makes you avoid storms. Makes you avoid airplanes. So fear makes us avoid. And like discouragement and despair, it could cause physical problems. The stress of that fear. The stress of the unknown. And lastly, as I did with the snake, I certainly would isolate myself. So fear isolates. There are those people that have obsessive, compulsive disorders that would cause them to stay in their house forever. I read a recent news report that said a lady had just died and she wasn't out of her house for something like 37 years because of the fear that was inside of her. She was out of the house once in her younger days to go to somebody's funeral. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine fear isolating you like that? It does happen. It does happen. So how do we face our fears? Well, let's go and read God's Word. And we're going to be into Luke chapter 12, 4 through 7. And then we'll go to 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7. But before we do this, I want you to tap the person next to you or behind you and say, today we're going to face our fear. Can you say that? Today we're going to face our fear. All right. Face our fear. Okay. Luke 12, 4 through 7. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after the killing of the body, has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten by God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you. We come to you with our hearts open to you and our minds open to you. We come to you seeking out answers to the things that pull us away. We come to you trying to deal with the fears that we harbor inside of our mind and inside of our hearts. Lord, I ask, Lord, more than anything, that you will reveal to us your word and how we can face these fears, how we can run to you and hand these fears over to you. I ask, Lord, that you speak through me, Lord, that you use me as your vessel to explain the Word of God as it relates to our fears and how the fears take us away, but how you bring us back. So I lift this message up to you, Lord. I lift myself up to you as a broken vessel, and I get excited about what you're going to tell us today in your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, Amen. So how do we face our fear? I think facing our fear is understanding and knowing God's intentions towards us. I think it's understanding and knowing His nature. And to have faith that His words and His promises are true and that we can bank on it. As we start through this list, let's be ever mindful that God wants us to be able to face our fear so He can use us, so that He can use us in an effective manner, and so that our health will be good, and so that we can be among people to meet His purposes. So number one, faith is knowing that God values us. When we fear the worst and are controlled by that fear, there are times we have to know that God has a plan for us and He values us. Luke 12:7 says, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. How intimately does God know us? For those of us that have lots of hair, probably more than others, right? No. But He knows us so intimately, He has the hairs on our head numbered. There are those that fear physical death from others and fear of death through diseases and fear those can do bodily harm to us. As I said before, death is the number two fear that we have. And it too can just grab us away from the purposes that God has for us. But Scripture reminds us we're okay. We're okay. If God can take care of the sparrows and has worth, gives the sparrows worth, how much more worth does He give to us? How much more worth does He give to us? God values us very much. And it's true that Jesus was trying to say that fearing God is more important and results in not needing to fear anyone or anything. Doesn't it? People can take your body. What does that mean? God is saying, I want your soul. I have your soul. They can't take that. They can take your body away. Why do you always fear death? And don't get me wrong. It's a real fear. And if I would have a raising of hands here, it would probably be 90%, maybe 99%. But we can't be obsessive over it. Has anybody watched the TV show called Obsessed? About obsessive compulsive behavior. There's a man named Rick. Rick is so afraid of dying and aging that he exercises as much as he can between work. He exercises by running in the morning. He goes to the gym. And for lunch, he goes out and he works out. For dinner, he works out. He has a wife and a child. And they don't see him because he is so afraid of death and aging that he feels it's more important to build up his body and keep it in good shape in case there's a cure for death. What's that all about? I'm serious. I mean, what's that all about? We have to know that God values us. And even though they take our body, they can't take our souls, can they? They can't. Number two, faith is knowing that God encourages us. Deuteronomy 1:21 says, "See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it as the Lord, the God of your fathers, told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." There are some times we're given the land and we don't walk into it because of fear. That's exactly what happened to Israel as they roamed the desert in Egypt. God told them this 38 years before they walked in a promised land. Talk about avoidance. They were avoiding the giants, weren't they? They walked around the giants, hoping that the promised land would be rid of them by the time they go into it. 38 years. 40 years in the desert, 38 years fearing the giants. And God says here, don't be afraid. Have courage, because God has given us the land. He's given us the land. Why do we shirk from it? He's given us the land. Someone said, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is boldly stepping out in faith and obeying God despite your feelings of fear and being undaunted by obstacles. So it's obeying God despite our feelings of fear, being undaunted by the obstacles. We fear doing the right thing. We fear getting involved. We fear stepping forward. And God encourages us. But I've given you the land. I've given you an opportunity to step out for me. I've given you the opportunity to show my image and model me. I've given you the opportunity to stand tall because I've given you that land. Don't get me wrong. We got to be wise among snakes, but we don't have to change our whole way of living life because of that snake, do we? We don't. We don't. We need to walk boldly, maybe around that snake, or maybe wear high boots, huh? So that fear's gone away. And don't let that snake prohibit you from taking the land and walking where God tells you to walk. Number three, facing your fear is knowing that God enables us. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. He didn't make us timid. He doesn't give us that spirit of God to be timid, to flee, to run away. God enables us by giving us the spirit of power, the power in His Holy Spirit, the power of that love and that power of self-discipline. That discipline of waking up every morning and say, I'm going to do this and put my fears aside. I'm going to do that and put my fears aside. And I'm not going to run this time. I'm not going to run this time. In the Greek, timidity, or the Greek word for timidity, means one who flees from battle. And God is saying here, we don't have that spirit, do we? So He enables us through His Holy Spirit. He gives us boldness and not cowardice to fight our fears. And yes, fight our fears, including snakes or crowds or high places or flying. Fleeing from our fears doesn't make them go away, does it? But faith in our fears do make them go away. Number four. Faith is knowing God is present with us. When we're lonely, when we're afraid, when we isolate and take that fear of loneliness, We need to go to Psalm 118:6 that says, "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can men do?" Now, loneliness is a great fear. And it's a real fear. It's a fear, who's going to be there for me? Who's going to comfort me? Who's going to take care of me? We need a faith or fear to know that God is right there. And He's there to comfort us, to encourage us, to be with us, that we will never be lonely. We have nothing to fear, especially men. We have nothing to fear. Reminds me of a movie in which I think it was a dragon movie, and this young boy was just walking along. You know, the bullies come out and all that. And right behind him was this huge dragon. That huge dragon. And as he walks, that huge dragon is walking behind him. And the kids come out. They want to punch him out. And they see that dragon. And what happens to them? They run. They flee. They take off. That's what we have in God. God knows that. I mean, people know that spirit. People know that spirit of God. And they're afraid of us. And we're there. What happened? Well, it wasn't from us. It was from Him being behind us. So those fears flee. And we're no longer lonely. And He's present with us 24/7. Faith in our fear is knowing that God loves us. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment." Sometimes we fear that we're going to face punishment for the things that we've done, don't we? We fear that. We have shame and blame towards ourselves. Maybe we hope that the snake does bite us because we deserve it. But in John 4:18, it tells us there is no fear in the love of God. Because God's perfect love for us casts out all fears. And there's no punishment. Might be discipline, but a father disciplines out of hate? No. A father disciplines out of love. And when you get disciplined out of love, that's much different than punishment, which is out of hate. And that's what this verse is saying. It's saying we don't even have to fear ourselves anymore because God covers us with His blood on the cross. That He loves us unconditionally. That He's not there to punish us. The book of John says that from Jesus, I came to this world not to condemn it, but to save it. Because the world was already condemned. Different perspective, isn't it? We don't have a mean God. We had a God that sent His Son to save us from the condemnation that we deserved. Number 6, faithing our fear is knowing that God has given us a future and a destiny. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Do any of you fear the unknown? It comes at us, doesn't it? We always fear, what's next? What's next? What's next? And God is saying, the Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. And you know what? That's what's next. What do you think the kingdom is? It's the kingdom of God. Sometimes we're just plain afraid of what the future holds. And there are more snakes outside of our building. And the next day there's more snakes. And the next day, and our imagination just grows and grows. And we have true fear of the future, of old age and finally death. And then what? But once again, Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. For I'm pleased to give you the kingdom. We will have the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't that put you at ease? Isn't eternal life a great concept? It's a great concept, but it definitely came with a cost. It came with a cost of God sending His Son to die on the cross, to take humiliation, to take punishment, to take the pain and agony of men yelling at Him, screaming at Him, hating Him. In the same event, He took that punishment for us to give us an opportunity to have everlasting life. That's why I love Justin's song. It's saying forgiven. It's saying, I hope that no matter what I do, that cross, the act of the cross, gave me that forgiveness. Not only does it give me that forgiveness, that when I trust on Him, it gives me an eternity with Him. Isn't it great to know in my house are many mansions? You know, it's not going to be a little condo. It's going to be a mansion, right? It's going to be a huge place. It might look like a plantation. And there's enough to go around. Although some of us deserve the outhouse, He's going to give us the mansions. He's going to give us the mansions. A mansion where there is perfect love. A mansion where there is peace. And imagine this, a mansion where there is absolutely, positively no fear. Don't we want that place? Don't we want that place? Dear saints, I do not want to minimize that we will have fears. And I don't want to minimize that to you they will be real. But we must let God control us and not those fears to control us. There are blessings out there when we step out for God. There are blessings out there as we become a model for God. And there's a blessing here on earth as well as in eternity. God has promised us that through His death, He will give us life and life abundantly. He didn't say later on. It says right now. To live in that right now. You know, a sad commentary is that what we fear the most may fear us more. As I mentioned before, that when Israel finally went into the promised land, Rahab says, you know, we were afraid of you since you came over the Red Sea. And our hearts has trembled over you coming in because we're afraid of your God. And you know what? The way to overcome a snake is to understand he's probably more afraid of me than what I am of him. He's probably saying, oh, here comes Pastor Merle. He's 6'4", 230 pounds. He could crush me with his foot. And that's how we get rid of fear. Knowing that God gives us the land to take over. If our purpose is to glorify God and seek and save the lost, we can't let fear paralyze us, can we? We can't let it isolate us. We can't let it make us avoid life. We can't be exercising 24/7 because we're afraid of death and aging and meanwhile missing out on a wonderful son and a wonderful wife and the outdoors and picnicking and enjoying life, right? Somebody wrote this. If fear is what we experience when we resist faith, so faith must be what we experience when we resist fear. You like that? Like that? And we must faith our fears. And the acronym or acrostic that Ginger has given me that you can write down is forsaking all, I trust Him. Doesn't that work? Faith. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Every time fear comes to you, every time Well, anytime it paralyzes you and takes you away, we need to say, forsaking all, I trust Him. I'll go on the airplane, forsaking all, I trust Him. I'm not afraid of crowds. Forsaking all, I trust Him. And you know what? I always like that when I say, and you know what? If the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Sometimes my theology is pretty deep, huh? If the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Because he can't take us from our destiny. He can't take us away from the eternal life. He can't take us away from walking with a true and living God. If we walk with that true and living God, what is there to fear? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with another tough giant, and a giant that only you can help us overcome, and that is the giant of fear. Lord, sometimes we got to say, help us in our unbelief as we put bigger weight on our fears than on you. Help us to be able to forsake these fears and forsake all things and trust in you. Help us be able to hand these fears over to you so that we can meet your purpose. And our purpose is to glorify you, be a model for you, and to seek and save the lost. Lord, I don't think any of us would want to be taken away from that destiny or taken away from the destiny of eternal life. There are some here today, Lord, that I know you're talking to, some that don't know you, and some that have never accepted you as Savior, some that have never understood that you were God and that you were man all at the same time here, and you walked on the earth to model who God was. There are some here that don't understand the cross and how you died and took our punishment on the cross, and you've given us forgiveness. There are some that don't understand that on that cross you've given us eternal life. With all our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm asking those that don't know Jesus Christ to accept Him, to say yes to Him, to say, Lord, I really am sorry for the things I've done, and I don't want to live in this fear anymore that takes me away. I don't want to live in this hurt and this pain and fearing the unknown. I want to faith the future with you, Lord. It's a simple prayer for any of you that have never accepted Christ. It's I repent of my sins, and Lord, I accept you as my personal Savior, a real Savior that is present with me 24/7. If you don't know Christ, I want you to say that prayer to yourself. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask this question. Is there anybody who has accepted Christ today for the first time? If so, I just ask you to put your hand up and right back down so I can pray for you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence today and your special anointing as we tackle one of the biggest things that takes us away from you. So, Lord, we give you all the glory, and we're so excited of what you're going to do in our lives as we face these fears. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.